Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
This is the second year in a row that I've had a major New Year's change to my internet life.
Is that something that's normal for you? Are you a New Year's resolution kind of person?
No, never have been.
Okay.
In fact, the secular New Year has never even really mattered that much to me, or, well, it has, but not in a long time, because between the Jewish New Year and the Burning Man New Year, which are around the same time in late August, early September timeframe, my year has revolved around a different point anyway.
That's what I thought.
But it's, I mean, I do actually, you know, I totally do think of this, the new year, as a significant thing, but I don't usually make commitments to myself. But the things that I've done for the past 2 years in a row, around the new year have been more, I think, due to the space I've had to reflect on things, in the downtime, but like of the week prior to New Year's.
Right.
And realizing that there is some system in my life that's out of balance. Mm. And I want to rebalance it. And last year, that was deactivating my Facebook account, which is a thing we've talked about a million times here. And with that one exception of a week or two of thinking I wanted to see people's Burning Man pictures this year,
and then realizing you didn't,
and then realizing I didn't and turning it back off, I have gone completely free of Facebook for the year, and I have no intention of going back. I really don't think it's a service I need in my life anymore. I haven't deleted the account yet because I'm worried about losing the connection graph. You know, like I don't want to lose that way of finding people's contact information.
You mean like if you need to look somebody up, you can go on Facebook and figure it out from there or something?
Or like who was that person that I knew from this place or whatever it is? Yeah.
I have a weird example of doing that in my own life recently. I never go on Facebook. I've never even been close to addicted to Facebook in the way that I am to other social media networks.
Yeah.
But the ability for it to give me information that I feel is important is, that's kind of where I go to for it. So I recently had to like log into Facebook because a friend of a friend died, mm-hmm. someone that I knew. And I was just trying to figure out information about that circumstance. And Facebook was the place to do it. So I get the need to be able to go into Facebook and get that kind of information. And it almost feels impossible to have that barricaded off from you at this point, I guess. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, in this case, it was trying to get information from people who are a generation above us. And of course, Facebook is the place that they do that.
They're way more into Facebook. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a much better use case that I hadn't thought of yet, of seeing what happened if I get word of some major news.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, a lot of the, like the births and engagements and stuff that have happened, and the deaths actually, in the past year, I have found out about via other means. And that makes me feel good about the resilience of my social network with lowercase s and n, you know?
Yeah. Because I'm taking, we're talking about iMessage, not Instagram.
iMessage, Signal, email. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, there are actually a surprising number of people I use Signal to communicate with, not just Android users, but the Android users, that is our messaging service of choice. But there's mostly iMessage, yeah. But I could certainly imagine in a case like you're saying, wanting to go to Facebook to get more information. But leaving it off most of the time seems like the right thing for me. I mean, the main reason I'm doing that is to avoid people trying to contact me that way, which, as we all know by now, is an interaction Facebook has designed completely around sucking you back in.
Right,
so yeah. I just don't want to create that opportunity.
Although I feel like they've sort of shot themselves in the foot at this point, where everyone has been so hit by the red bubble of doom in Facebook messages that no one really expects to get responses anymore. I don't think.
I hope that's
true. I think everyone has been annoyed by Facebook Messenger enough that if you don't respond to a message, I don't feel like that's a major obligation at this point.
I'm glad to hear that. I've been away from it for so long that I don't know what's changed in terms of the national mood in the last year on Facebook. But that is certainly what I would hope would happen because it's the only antidote to Messenger is apathy.
But this was last year.
Yes.
You got rid of Facebook. Right. And it you have, for the most part, sustained that for the year. And I think that 2019 will be an equally Facebook-less year for you.
Yeah, but the thing I've done for 2019 is a different story altogether.
Mm-hmm.
A much more radical step. A step that several people that I've told haven't even understood what I meant when I told them that I did this, which is that I have deleted all of my Google accounts. I had 3 Google accounts. I do have one completely contained Google account that I have to use for work, but I don't even search from that account. You know, like a search is something I'm never doing.
Right. You're not logged in actively necessarily to that account, nor are you worried about it.
I am logged into it in Chrome. But that's the thing. I have this Chrome browser that's a completely self-contained workspace for the job, and nothing. I don't do anything that isn't my day job in that browser, and I don't use the account for anything that isn't the job. So it's kind of more like just having a little virtual Chromebook that's only for my job, and it isn't a Google account that I'm using.
Right.
I'm not logged into it on any other devices. You know, it's just like the place I do my job, because that's what my company does. But the Google accounts, I've had 3 Google accounts for a while for my own personal use. I have my original Gmail account, which I stopped using a long time ago, but kept for you know, just various stupid Google Docs and things that you know, were using that consumer Gmail account and to forward my email for the past few years to Google Apps accounts, or as G Suite as it's called now, that I've had for both my consulting domain and for my personal email. So I had one company on G Suite paying for 2 mm-hmm. accounts.
Domains.
Two right. accounts that happen to be at 2 different domains. That doesn't actually cost extra, but having the 2 accounts does. So I've had 2 Google accounts that are paid $5 a month accounts, and the personal one, the one for my personal email address, was basically being used as the way that normal people use their Google accounts for search. For I'm not like a YouTube user, but I did have accounts, you know. I did have a couple of videos hosted.
I mean, it's kind of pervasive.
Yeah.
Do you ever do the like login with Google type thing, just like you can log in with Facebook when you have to sign up for an account on a random website?
I have not encountered any of those. I think I didn't do that consciously, or at least I haven't in a long time.
So you weren't super like embedded in the Google world, but having a Gmail account, I mean, everybody has a Gmail account. So
yeah, but I was also using Drive and Docs all the time. I was using Maps a lot. I was using Search a lot, and my entire like life history of email was in Gmail, was on Gmail servers for years. I guess it has been probably 5 years at this point. I have felt it important enough to own the domain of my email address that I have really only seen Google as the service provider for that email. I never felt tied to Gmail, or at least haven't in a really long time. And part of my thinking the entire time has been, if someday I want to migrate off of Google, I can just keep my email address. And I tried switching to DuckDuckGo for search a while ago. I can't even remember when it was. And found it good enough that I haven't switched back. I've been using DuckDuckGo almost exclusively for search for at least a year. And I'm super happy with it. So that's the default in all of my browsers everywhere. Apple Maps, I have also been preferring for a long time because of the simple reason that it works on my watch. And so if I'm driving, I want to be getting those taps on my wrist about turning. But I also find the UI and the design of Apple Maps to be superior at this point.
Yep.
The data has not been a problem for me in a really long time. Easy for me to say, living in one of the most populous parts of California, but it has been fine. And we did use it on a 2,000-mile road trip without any issues this week. So it didn't seem like, well, but the Google Docs thing was a big deal. The fact that I was doing all my consulting business using Google Drive and shared documents. You know, I'm going to be spinning that back up again soon. to try and have more full time, or maybe not full time, but have a lot more hours of consulting work. And I was sitting there wondering, do I need to use Google Docs for that, or could I manage with iWork and whatever else, whatever other services? And if I were able to do that job using different applications, could I quit Google? Why do I even want to quit Google? I don't know that I even really had to articulate a reason for that. I just felt like it's one of the companies online that profits off of tracking me and, you know, keeping a huge database of my own personal comings and goings and searches and views and things that I do, and using that profile of me to profit. And I just don't like that.
Yeah.
And even if Google is the most trustworthy company in the world with that data, which might be true, I just don't, that's just not something that I want to support. So could I do it? Could I do without Google?
It sounds like there's not that much beyond Gmail and Google Drive. And it seems like for the most part, there are alternatives for everything. So,
right.
You know, it's sort of a why not,
yes,
for you if you can find something that does a better job of all those things. You're not a big Chrome user. I'm assuming you're a Safari user.
Yep.
And you're deeply embedded in the Apple ecosystem. So for the most part, you can get around this type of stuff and you'll probably feel a little bit better about it at the end of the day.
Yeah. And the real question was, is the email going to be good enough? Are the calendars going to be good enough? And those seemed like basic enough things that I thought it would be worth checking into. And I knew about Fastmail, fastmail.com, Australian company. They have offices in the US too, that has been providing a G Suite competitor, basically hosted email using your own domains if you want. They also have like dozens of their own domains to choose from, which some of which are kind of cool. But the equivalent service was available at the same price point of $5 a month for an account. And then when I looked into it, I found that I could actually collapse the two accounts I was paying Google for into one, because Fastmail, I probably explicitly to differentiate themselves from what G Suite provides, has a lot more nerdy like server features that I really love. One of which is the ability to add a bunch of domains and create email aliases at any of those domains that you can use on one account. So all I had to do was create one single account, and then I could create an alias for the other address that I had as a separate email account before,
right,
and run it all as one $5 a month account. And I get calendars. I think they do have some kind of collaboration, like document thing, that I haven't really looked into because I'm sure it's not great, but they give you a bunch of cloud storage, and then they give you the ability to arbitrarily put stuff into your cloud storage and link to it. So it's kind of better than Google Drive in a way, because it basically lets you host files at your domain and give people links to it. And it even has a one button way to put a website on the web at your domain using that hosting.
Interesting.
So I'm totally going to do that for my consulting. Like, I have my consulting stuff on my main personal website as a page, but I can, since I'm using the domain for my email, I can just put a static website into my, you know, my drive on my email and point my domain at it and use it as my website. So, you know, all this for half the price plus privacy, you know, a business model that's not based on surveillance and has no advertising component. And their iOS app is even pretty good, which I was not expecting. But of course, their integration with the default apps, calendar, mail, even notes, it's all perfect. I'm not using it for notes, obviously, but, you know, it does everything that I was getting from Google that I needed to get. So once I saw that, I went for it, and I did the import of all my whole email back to the beginning of using email, and it worked fine. I imported the calendars. And once I saw that I was up and running, I made an additional decision for that I think you might even be more interested in certain ways. I'm not sure I told you. I decided, since this hosted email and calendar stuff that I was using is for my business, I decided to start using iCloud calendars and mail for the first time. For the first time ever, I have all of the switches and the iCloud preference pane turned on.
Yeah, right.
And The reason is because we have a family iCloud plan, my wife and I, and I wanted to start sharing reminders lists with her. We have a shared calendar in there. We can have as many as we want. And since I was deleting my Google accounts, I wouldn't be able to share her Gmail calendar anymore. So that took some convincing, but it wasn't that hard to do.
Right.
So now I have an iCloud calendar and I have iCloud Mail. I went around and switched all of my signups for like every account that I have to the iCloud address. And you get aliases with iCloud. So like I'm not actually using my Apple ID iCloud address for things. So I'm using straight up iCloud email for sort of my personal stuff. And then I had this other account for more businessy stuff.
Hmm.
And, you know, by that point, there was nothing left. The only thing I had to do, so I deleted all of my Google accounts, no Google anymore, do not have it, exported all of my Drive stuff. And it's interesting, actually, it gives it to you in Microsoft Office format.
Really?
So so I have like all my docs and all my spreadsheets and stuff, but they're all in Excel and Word form. So at some point, I'm going to have to go through and clean those up into iWork documents and like fix the formatting and stuff, but it's all basically there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm comfortable trying to use numbers and pages for consulting. We'll see how it goes. And then the one thing I had to do was I had a video of an interview, an on-stage interview I did when I was at Read Write Web with Adam Leshinsky, who is an editor at Fortune magazine. He wrote a book about Apple. And so it was like my first onstage interview and it went really well. We got along. I asked really good questions about the book. And so it was like part of my portfolio. And that was hosted on the YouTube account of my Ablaze Interactions Google account. So I had to go create a Vimeo account in order to host that video and embed it on my site. That is the only sort of weird workaround I had to do.
Very interesting.
Now I'm 2 weeks without a single usage of Google, except for Gboard on the iPhone, which is not logged in. So whatever. I don't like it, but it's the only good one-handed keyboard for the iPhone. So I'm stuck with it. And other than that, yeah, I have not used Google for anything.
And you feel pretty good about it.
I feel surprisingly good about it. I feel weirdly good about it. It's one less corporate god ruling my life. I'm free of that one god. And there are like 5 more that still rule my life, but you know, one down. In ways that I wasn't expecting, it plays into the kind of indie life, that sort of resurgence of the web and owning your domain and all that stuff that I've always been an advocate for. I haven't like put my money where my mouth is all the way in a lot of cases, particularly on my personal website since I'm using Squarespace. And I've always felt weirdly guilty about that, but at least it's on my domain, you know? And like now without Facebook and without Google, I feel a lot closer to that ideal of the indie web, the people that I always looked up to the most when I was writing about tech all the time. People who, even if it wasn't their job, in their spare time, they just like tinkered with their own web stuff and made their presence online completely their own and customized every aspect of it to suit themselves. And that was always what I wanted to do, instead of using these pre-filled boxes that we are provided by all these companies. Hi, Internet friends. It's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together.
It sounds very nice and freeing to not have to have all of my information contained by Google. And I think I'm much more deeply embedded than you are here.
Mm.
I am actually like a YouTube premium subscriber.
Oh, wow.
Which is one of those things where it gets me accidental access to a bunch of Google services that I have no intention of using, like Google Music, Google Play Music, and Google Play Video, or whatever they are, that I've never even logged into. And also, I just looked up to see, I have like 20 different Google accounts that I have the passwords for in my iCloud keychain. You know, about half of them are mine, or mine in some sense of the word, and the other half are business accounts that I've been asked to be logged into, or, you know, have had over different periods of time. So, you know, that's interesting, right? Like, that's something that I have quite a few more than it seems like you do.
Yeah, I had actually had like three more other business ones that were inactive that I have had to use. I've kept those passwords in case I need them again. But
right.
Certainly I'm not logged into them now.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think that this is something that is intriguing to me. The difference here is that beyond the YouTube subscription that I'm paying for, I'm not paying for any of my Google email addresses.
Uh-huh.
Actually, let me retract that. I definitely have a paid for Google account, and I'm paying for it through Squarespace. To me, it was being lumped in my mind to the Squarespace bill, but I'm definitely paying X amount of dollars a month to have a couple of email addresses in Google for the Evergreen space in Redding, California. So yeah, I mean, that's an intriguing thing. Are there any other big places that like a Google account would serve you well at this point?
No.
Not really, which kind of weirds me out. I kind of felt like they would have a bigger, that they would be harder to disentangle yourself from. But I think that they're sort of just the de facto for Gmail and Google Drive. So that's why you have one. But it seems like you've come across some pretty good alternatives for those two already.
Well, for Drive, it remains to be seen. I think that Google Drive itself as a cloud storage provider sucks. Like, it's reliable enough, but the browser interface to it is terrible. The integration with the Mac file system using their apps has always been even worse than that. And it's not even like they keep the Google Docs on your computer. You basically get a web link to them, and that sucks. So, you know, I've never really been a heavy user of Google Drive the way that people use, say, Dropbox. And I went to iCloud Drive from not having synced files, and have used iCloud Drive the whole time for that. But Google Docs has been something I spent a lot of time on over the many years. And that I think it still remains to be seen whether I have actually replaced that. What I realized when I considered what I use Google Docs for is that I've been using shared iCloud notes with friends the way that I had been using Google Docs before, for things that aren't really documents per se. They're just collaborative sort of drafts, or like places to store text information. And Notes is actually more versatile than Google Docs in a lot of ways on that stuff. So shared notes had totally replaced that for me. I guess I just don't really do a whole lot of writing for comment, like sharing of drafts with people outside of work. So I've only shared a couple of pages documents that way, and it has worked fine. I don't really love the way it looks on a phone, and I'm a little worried about that. But, you know, if you turn it to landscape, it's okay. So I think it's going to be okay, but I highly doubt that working live on a document, if that's something I find myself in a situation where I'm doing that again, the way I have in my job, I highly doubt that Pages is going to do as good a job of that as Google Docs does. So we'll see.
Were you using Google Docs very often?
Only at work, but I'm using it all day at work, you know? And like, even in situations where it's like emergency legal and the CEO and everybody are all in a document together and communications needs to finish it, like that Google Docs is where we've driven that from every time. And so I still have that account for work, and maybe I won't be in that situation anymore if like once I stop doing this job. But it has been an incredibly powerful tool in my work life. So I am a little worried.
I think that's the big one for me. But there's this little product called Dropbox,
right,
that does a lot of the same stuff that Google Drive does.
Yeah, if I have to go to Dropbox someday, yeah, that's what I'll do, I suppose. Dropbox folder with a local word processing document in it, you know, that's fine too. That still doesn't quite get at this use case of multiple people typing in a document at the same time and being able to see each other's changes.
No, well, Dropbox paper.
Oh, right. I didn't even remember they had that thing. So like that has the same sort of interface with like people's names.
And I would actually say that Dropbox paper is better than Google Docs.
Oh, all right. Cool.
And that right there, that to me sums up the I'm leaving Google conversation pretty well.
Yeah.
There's nothing that there's no knock-on effect that's so massive that you're going to be, you know, dealing with that damage for a long time coming, other than just convenience, pure convenience stuff, which doesn't seem like you cared about to begin with, because I have tangled myself pretty deeply into signing in with Google at different places and all that, which, by the way, I've stopped doing, not because of the privacy factor, but because I get very confused where I've done it and where I haven't done it. And it's just so much better to just do the whole sign up song and dance and save it in iCloud.
Yeah.
Because it's like three less buttons I have to click at the end of the day every time that I'm trying to log into these sites, you know? So yeah, that I'm surprised to find that leaving Google isn't as big of a deal as I might have thought it was, because there's enough alternatives around that it's not like too massive of a thing, which to me is sort of worrisome for the future of Google. And of course, they have their hands in many things, and I don't think that they've done anything which will lead to a mass exodus of people doing what you've done. I think that they win because of convenience.
Yeah.
But there's nothing really that massive that you lose from getting rid of this massive giant tech company's presence in your life. And that's kind of wild.
Yep. I've been amazed at the fact that iCloud Mail is good enough and it is actually better than Gmail in one specific way, which is that you get multiple aliases that are true email aliases, which, you know, most people would never use anyway. I find it to sync just as fast. I don't really know about the spam filtering yet because nobody has my iCloud email address yet, but it has caught stuff already, you know. Calendar works great too. So I'm perfectly happy with iCloud. And, you know, the question is like, how many people are there who are setting up an Apple device and who think, yeah, I'll get another email address, or I don't have an email address yet, so I'll get an email address from them. You know, I feel like Google has email lock-in, you know, in the hundreds of millions of users for just consumer Gmail.
Right.
And, you know, no one who isn't a nerd has any reason to leave an email provider. You're right. It's probably never going to happen. And then that's leaving aside everybody with an Android device, because there's no such thing as not having is using Android without a Google account. So, you know, it's not for everybody, but for me, you know, the services provided by the people who make my device are perfectly good in, you know, almost every instance, except when it comes to search. And you just have to try DuckDuckGo in order to believe me. But it is better than Google search for me, the way I use search. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but it is, because it does have a sort of answers bar at the top, like Google does, when the answer to your query is best provided as like a summed up piece of data rather than a web link. It does have that, but Google fills search results with so much other crap than what you're looking for using that feature, often to promote its own services, and DuckDuckGo doesn't do that. So, you know, what's interesting is location-based queries and business-based queries are things that I don't use search for anymore, because I don't know how this happened, but I go to Yelp. I launch the Yelp app when I'm looking for a restaurant or something like that, or, you know, a store to buy a particular thing. And I think the reason I do that is because that's what Apple Maps uses. So I can search either place and get the same exact result, and I can easily find something I found in one app and the other. I mean, in Maps, you can just open it in Yelp, and in Yelp, you can open it in Maps. So I've peeled off those kinds of searches, like searches of the physical world, into Apple Maps and Yelp world. And that's been perfectly fine. And web searches I think of as a different thing, and I use DuckDuckGo for that. Obviously, the convenience of going to google.com and typing in whatever you're looking for is something that most people love. But I haven't found it at all confusing or perplexing, like, where do I go to search for this thing. And the idea of just having one big box to type into, like, that doesn't enter into it for me. Like I said, it had been many months since I had used Google the way that people think of canonically using Google to Google things. Like, I haven't Googled anything in a really long time.
DuckDuckGo is very good. I haven't used it in a while, but this might actually make me turn it back on and give it a try again, because we are also at that point where some of those smart results for Google are making Google worse.
Yeah.
Quite a few of the times that I've got those, like, you know, pre-done answers up top, they're not at all correct. And I wish that they weren't wasting my time.
They're even being spammed. We keep seeing instances, like, in the news of horrible things getting put into those by spammers. And, you know, you don't want that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that that's an interesting example. I am assuming that you are still using YouTube. If someone sent you a YouTube link, you would, like, watch it.
Yeah. So here's the thing is I got there are a couple of shortcuts that I think Federico Vitici shared. That lets you do the thing you've always wanted to do with YouTube on iOS and never been able to do, which is watch the video in true full screen from the browser and watch it in picture in picture from the browser. And the solution to that problem was watch it in the YouTube app. And I hate the YouTube app. And because I'm not a YouTube user, I'm someone who occasionally watches videos. And the way that they broke my way of using the web to force me into their YouTube hole always offended me. And so I never kept the YouTube app installed, and I would just deal with watching it in the browser in a crappy experience. Mm-hmm. in order to just, cause video, I'm usually watching video only for, like, informational purposes anyway. It doesn't matter that much to me. And I also, have been known to use the service that I believe is dead now, which is breaking my heart, built on top of Huffduffer, the service for rolling your own podcast feed for listening to audio files. Someone built on top of that a way to extract the audio from a YouTube URL and listen to that as a podcast without watching the video. So I that's what I used to do when I got a long video link. But now I have these two shortcuts, which enable me to watch the video as though it's native video on iOS. And that's what I do. And it's way better for me.
An extremely specific use case that you might run into in the future is if a video has been marked adults only, you have to usually sign into your Google account to watch a YouTube video. So if you have, yeah, so this is the downfall of your whole plan, is if you need to watch a mature video on YouTube, you cannot anymore.
See if I run into that. That's one of the things that I'm interested in most about this experiment is, when am I going to hit walls, and am I going to hit any that mess up my plans? And I haven't yet. It's been a couple weeks. It's not that long of a time. But in most cases, like what happens when I go to a website and they say, follow us on Facebook, and that's the only way to keep up with them. What I say is, oh, well, that would have been a nice website to have ever read before, but I guess I won't. Goodbye forever. And I leave.
Yeah, right.
And I certainly, with one-off videos, expect that that's what would happen.
I think that I'm in kind of a weirdly different camp than you. The only reason that I would do this is for... The reason that I would follow you isn't because I'm annoyed at Google tracking me. The reason that I would do it is because I'm annoyed at Google tracking me badly, if that makes sense. Hmm. Like, I don't think that Google's experience has been very well adapted to today's environments. Even trying to be logged into a few different Gmail accounts in, like, mobile Safari is the worst experience in the world. It is so unpleasurable. And you'll, like, you know, click the little drop down that lets you change accounts, and then it'll reload you back into the account that you were in before without even taking you to the second one. And there's all these little things that it does that makes me feel frustrated that it's not doing a better job at stealing my data, I guess. You know, it's like, if you're going to steal my data, give me a good experience. And I'm not feeling very pleased with the experience it's giving me. So I could see myself following in your footsteps for that. I mean, I don't use Google Calendar. Google Drive is something that I use because it works, but the last major collaborative document I made in paper because it had a few different things that I wanted to use that Google Docs was going to make too complicated. Mm. Dropbox paper is still not a very perfect answer, especially on iOS. It's pretty clumsy the way that they handle being an app. But man, Google Docs is the exact same way.
Yeah. I mean, those cases like the one you mentioned just now about Safari and then the way that Google is on iOS, you know, you said, like, if you're going to steal my data, at least give me a good experience. I think that's exactly the problem. It's like when they're in places where Google is unable to sufficiently spy on you, they punish you for using that at that platform.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And so, yeah. And weirdly enough, if you would have asked me before this conversation, if I was more, more wrapped up in Facebook or Google, I would have said Google. But I do think that getting rid of Google would not be a hard move in my life.
Yeah.
But Facebook with Instagram and WhatsApp, they own WhatsApp, right?
Yes.
That's something that my wife's family all uses.
Uh-huh.
These secondary apps that Facebook holds are much more important to me than Google's YouTube, even though I am paying for it. But I'm really just paying for it because I hate ads so badly that I'll do anything I can to never see an ad again.
I did actually delete my WhatsApp account the other day. So Instagram is all they've got me by at this point. And no part of me is thinking I'm going to delete my Instagram account right now because I would just completely lose touch with my friends if I did that.
Yeah.
So it's not like Instagram is so ruined an experience that it's not worth it to me to keep using it. And, you know, we've talked about its decline and like, if they go to this horizontal scrolling thing that they accidentally flashed the world with the other day.
Oh man.
It'll be definitely a much more miserable experience, but you know, I'm not thinking of leaving Instagram, but it's just sort of this one account I have floating around. I mean, you know, I created an Instagram account before it was owned by Facebook. So, you know, I think of that as my Instagram account.
Well, even that is a good example, though, of the difference between Google and Facebook, because if I have, you know, having a brick and mortar business, I need an Instagram account.
Right.
Like, there's no way to not have that these days. But I could easily transfer my email address that's rarely used to another platform without worry, and that would kind of be the only place that Google had me as far as my business goes. So, wow.
And thank God that Google Plus failed, you know? Like, that's actually something that, you know, as weird as it is to bring that up, like, that's something that only just formally happened this year. Google Plus is gone now. And they've shut it down early because there was some horrible security problem or something like that. But, like, that was their attempt, you know, 5-6 years ago to make your Google profile, your public Google account, the place where you controlled all of your listings about yourself or your business on Google services, including maps, including search, you know, everywhere. And I bought into it at the time because it seemed like, how is anyone going to stop Google from, you know, no one could possibly defeat Google search.
Yeah. And that was the era of Hangouts and everything else. So they had plenty of reason.
There was reason to be on there. But then furthermore, like, you know, if this is the way you make your Google search results about you look good, like, of course you have to be there. And that turned out to not be, I mean, people just reacted, people rebelled against the idea of Google looking like that, let alone, you know, having to do it for their own results. And, you know, Google Plus is finally gone. But, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, you do have to have an Instagram account now. It's true. It's really amazing how many stores have like a come Instagram this installation, like at their physical location.
Oh yeah.
And something feels kind of 5 years ago about that too, the way that when people used to put Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Foursquare icons all over their windows.
Right.
But there's really only one left now. And it's one that we loved at the time. You know, it's the only one that never getting bought by Facebook is a bummer, but Instagram has never, gone south the way that these other services have. It's got more ads now, sure. But like that, what I mean is the essential use case of Instagram is so simple that what it is, what it does in the world has not changed that much and won't and can't. It wouldn't be Instagram anymore. You know, like it's the place where the pictures go. And that's a very simple proposition. There's only so much they can do to sort of expand on that offering. And you know, if that's the one concession you have to make to be online in a public sense, beyond, you know, whatever web presence you want to have, so be it. Google tried to get in between people and the world, and they seem to have failed, because I have gotten completely around them now.
Hello, internet friends, it's Drew, and I want to tell you about Keyhouse. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read, tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of four seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have six. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key. You know, this is sort of the nature of technology, though, right?
Yep.
Is that these things don't last forever. And we're in this weird time where it feels like they're all supposed to last forever. And we're all kind of like believing that's how it's going to be. Like, we're going to have Facebook and Google and Apple and these and Amazon and all these corporations until life ceases to exist on this earth. But
yeah,
I don't know if that's the case. And certainly, I mean, wow, how long ago was Gmail opened?
We were in middle school when that happened.
10 years ago?
Yeah.
Over a decade at least, right? So that's a pretty long time to be a faithful user of a product. And it seems like that's about the right amount of time for you to switch to something that fits your life now. You had that for a decade and life has moved on, and now it's time to try something new. The interesting thing to me is how full-heartedly you're going about it, because you could obviously just use Google and not be Google search, I should say, and not be signed in, but you've decided to just remove it completely from your life.
Well, you know, it's funny, because I'm using Gboard as my keyboard on my phone, there is one place where the Google logo stares at me all day. And it's really quite remarkable that they've managed to pull this off, that Google is the best keyboard for the iPhone, because I like the reason I'm not using search anymore is because I don't want to see Google anymore. It's not just a matter of principle, and it's not just a matter of utility. It's that I have chosen to remove one of these incredibly potent, like, mind dominating brands from my life. And then there's just this one little G on my phone. I tried not to use it for a few days and just peck like an animal instead of swipe typing with one hand, and I couldn't do it. So I came crawling back. I did also try SwiftKey, which is the one that Microsoft acquired, and it's just not even funny how much worse it is. You know, there's this one little rainbow colored G that's staring back at me saying, "Remember the good times?" And I say, "Yes, I do remember." But I'm using iCloud for my mail now. And Fastmail. Fastmail, you know, the unknown quantity, it is weird to sort of trust an independent small business. I mean, I don't know how small of a business. I don't know what counts as a small business anymore when you're talking about Apple and Google and then other companies. But, you know, they are sort of the unknown quantity here. But it's just, you know, the way I think of it is, it's my work email and they are on my domain. And if I have to move them again, I will. And really, the thing that I need to stay up and running no matter what is my personal email that I'm logging into everything with. And I move that to iCloud because, you know, if Apple goes down, I just won't use computers anymore. Like, that, there's no alternative to that for me. So why not just be as all in as possible on their services, especially considering how that's obviously the future of their business and their product direction is providing ever better services, because they can't sell they can't sell enough $1,500 phones anymore. So we're into that era. But I think that there's something to be said for not having to think about a corporation every day anymore. especially one to whom you have no particular loyalty or affinity, you know, like just using Google a little bit would still mean that they have a presence in my mind. And I want my mind to be free for like the people and stuff that actually matters to me.
This goes back to the same thing of like the kinds of conversations we have about, you know, Apple and Google and privacy and all of this kinds of thing. And but to me, like the issue is none of these companies are doing all things right. They're doing a few things right and getting a few things not as right as other companies. And the example, you know, here is that you can't exactly move all of your Gmail accounts to iCloud. iCloud is pretty good, but you're not replacing, you know, every single Google service that you've had with an Apple service. But there's enough third-party answers to all of these things that it's not as big of an issue as one might have thought it would be.
Yeah, but like if iCloud Mail had custom domains, I totally would have done that.
And I guess I would also say, you know, the difference between files Google Drive. And I guess for me, like the kind of takeaway I'm having from this conversation is the fact that you've deleted your Gmail has made me remember when I opened a Gmail account, which was like an exciting event on the internet, at least for me.
Yeah, I remember. There was like a special invitation-only game.
Yeah, I think so. And I recall, I think I was using Yahoo beforehand.
I was using Hotmail.
Yeah, it was not good. And then here we were with this thing that looked new and interesting and better by this company that was newer and more interesting and better. And when I think back to my feelings about that Google and what I, you know, would have anticipated them becoming, it's so different from the company that exists today. So the Google that I signed up for that decade ago doesn't really exist in the current world. So I don't really have an affinity for it. And because I don't really have an affinity for it, I don't really see any reason to keep using it. The Google of 10 years ago is not the Google of today. And it makes me feel a lot less of an affinity than I even thought I could for this company that I've been passively just continuing to use without questioning it. And it seems like you wouldn't have really questioned it either unless there would have been this value add of saving a little money a month on something that you don't necessarily love.
That is the thing that pushed me over the edge.
Right. And you know, I thought that I didn't have that, but here I am having that with the coffee shop and the email addresses that are associated with it. So, you know, at the end of this conversation, I might also end up looking up Fastmail for that. And I could see myself slowly unlinking myself from the world of Google. And really the only thing that's left is YouTube. I do watch a lot of YouTube. YouTube is like my unwind platform of choice. I've sort of been too stressed out by Twitter to the point where even though I still use it, I'm certainly not going on Twitter. What I'm trying to just decompress, I probably go on YouTube and watch a video. So that's the place that it has me, but I could find myself easily detaching from that. And even seeing some of the upstarts that are trying to take it on, you know, Twitch and gaming. Every company has a long way to go because I think YouTube is the de facto place to put a video. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Hard to imagine.
But for people who are streaming, I don't think that YouTube is the right choice.
Right.
And so, you know, as the way that we consume and create video changes, that definitely doesn't mean that YouTube will be around forever either. So, yeah, it's interesting to me how easily it was for you to rid yourself of one of these massive corporations. It's probably the easiest out of all.
I can't really see a way out of any others right now.
Including Amazon for me. And
yeah, you know. I would never stop using Amazon. I can't imagine life without Amazon. Which is funny because I'm only using it for the classic Amazon thing. But like, I'm, you know, that's just how we get things now.
Right.
You know, I've been thinking a little bit about Microsoft in this transition, because they used to think they were going to take on Google, at least like, I mean, you know, Bing is still a thing. It still exists. I don't know if it's better or worse than DuckDuckGo. It's certainly worse from a privacy perspective. So I'm not going to try it. And you know, I don't, the thing, they've made such good apps is the thing. The Mac and iOS apps for Office are so, they look so great now. Better than Apple's apps for those things. certainly on the iPad. But the thing is, they ask, they have such a high bar. They require such, I mean, it's $7 a month to save files using the iOS apps for Office. And like, I'm not ready. I'm not anywhere close to that point, given that Apple provides it for free, just plus whatever you're paying for cloud storage. So, you know, that's, they're like a god that will never really be a presence in my life, I'm starting to feel. And that's just fine. There are still a few, though. And like, obviously, Apple towers over them all in a way that I can't even imagine life without. But one fewer god to deal with. Obviously, I'm Jewish, you know, I'm putting quotation marks around that word. One fewer god to deal with every day is just one step closer to freedom for me.